Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Medino.
I want to start off. It's a scripture that I like myself. It's in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. The title of my message this morning is A Fresh Start. How many like things that are fresh? Amen. Amen. A fresh start. We're still in January. We have a whole year. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, and amen when you have it. Tell your neighbor, don't talk to me, please. The only reason is because you want to hear God speak to you this morning. Amen. Afterwards, invite them to eat or something. And you pay. Hallelujah. You guys have it? Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. It says, and I'm going to read the New King James Version. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Then he goes on to say, I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Notice what it says. Or my portion. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Or the Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. How many know that the Lord is good to those who wait for him? The Lord is good to those who wait for him. But then he says, to the soul who seeks him. So we got to seek the Lord. So the first thing I want to share with you, I have seven fresh statements, but I'm going to give you three. I'm going to give you three this morning. Number one is that every day is a new day. The Bible says that through the Lord's mercies or his kindness, we are not consumed. Aren't you grateful that we're still here? And that says a lot. That says that God is not finished with you yet. We're still here. We are still standing. And that's because of God's mercies, his kindness. The Bible says that we are not consumed. He says, because his compassions fail not. That's what the Bible says. Or his faithful love. And he goes on to say they are new every morning. How many know that today is a new day? Yesterday passed, today is a new day. And he says, great is your faithfulness. You got to know, church, that God is faithful. Amen. We got to know that God is faithful. Even in our unfaithfulness, God is faithfulness. But he says, great is your faithfulness. Then he goes on to say, the Lord is my portion. Or other translation says, the Lord is my inheritance. Let me ask you this morning, is the Lord your portion? And notice, when he is saying this, Solomon, he's going, this is a moment of a hard time, suffering. But notice he says, great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion. But he says my soul. So he's saying it. He is saying it himself. He says my soul, the Lord is my portion. Then he says, therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Now, notice that the Bible says the Lord is good to those who wait for him. Now, this waiting is not a passive waiting, like if you're sitting down and doing nothing. We don't got those here, right? He's not talking about when he says the Lord is good to those who wait for him. It's not talking about just sitting down doing nothing. But the meaning means, the root meaning, it speaks about binding together or a twist that strands into a cord. It means to expect with tension and hope. So in other words, waiting means it's more like actively stretching your hope towards God. In other words, that it might be hard or life has been hard, but because you're connected to God, we're connected to God, we are what? We have hope in God. Even when there's pressure in life, What's happening? We have expectation. Even though whatever you're believing God or whatever it is that you're hoping, it's not fulfilled yet, but because we're waiting and we have expectation, even though it has not been fulfilled, but we don't let go of God. Amen? And this year, church, don't let go of God. Even when there's pressure or it's hard, the Bible says the Lord is good to those who wait for him. You don't let go of God. You don't let go of God. But the key is that to the soul who seeks him. So this year, don't let go of God. The Lord is good to those who wait on him. And see, we still got a whole year. Let me ask you, how many of you are going to hold on? Don't let go. Amen? Don't let go. Now, the Bible says in Isaiah 43:18, Verse 18:19. We just read that his compassions, his mercies are new every morning. You got to get excited this morning, church. It's a new day. It's a new horizon. A new season. And he says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. How many agree on that? He says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. How many know we got to be careful that if we do, like he says, do not remember the former things, the now can affect you. Amen. Sometimes we got to let go to be able to receive. But how many know that sometimes people don't want to let go? And he says, do not remember the former things nor consider the things of old. And God is not saying, he's not telling you or me, he's not saying, forget the past ever happened. He's not saying that, because all of us here, we have a past. Amen? Woo! But God is good. Amen? The Bible says that when he forgives our sins are thrown into the deepest part of the sea. Aren't you grateful that God is not like man? See, us people, we like to dig it out. Amen? We like to dig it out. But see, God says, no more. That's why, I think it was Corrie ten Boom, she says, that scripture, he says, you got to put a sign that says, no fishing here. Because people, once in a while, you want to go fishing. But the Bible says, so God is not saying forget the past ever happened. But what he is saying in the scripture when he says, do not remember the former things nor consider the things of old. He says, behold, I will do a new thing. This is what he's saying. Stop. We need to stop letting the past define how he sees you. Because God knows, church, God knows. He sees way beyond us. But we're the ones that stop the blessing. And we can't continue rehearsing the old, church. Amen? Because God wants to do something new. God wants to do something new. And I, it's so simple. He says, behold, I will do a new thing. See, God's going to do something new. But you got to let go. We let go of the past and we hold on to God. Because he's about to do something new. See, God, we limit ourselves. God knows the potential we have. And that's why I'm saying this morning that God is a specialist in fresh starts. I said God is a specialist in fresh starts. And God wants to do something fresh, something new in your life. Amen. Something fresh, something new in your life. How many like everything new? Fresh out of the oven. You don't like those bread 5-6 days. Fresh. Number two, in God we have a future. In God we have a future. Amen. We have a future. In God we have a future. And you got to believe, church, that we have a future. And you know this scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts. Some translations say thoughts, others say plans. For I know the thoughts and plans. How many know God has a God has a plan for your life. He says, for I know the thoughts, plans that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts, plans of peace or good, and not of evil or disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Think about that, church. It's so true, that saying, your past doesn't determine your future in God. Amen. And the Bible says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. In other words, God, listen, we have our own outcomes. Even today, this morning, maybe for next, we're thinking of our own outcomes. But how many know that God's outcomes are different? God's final destination is different to yours and mine. It's about how the story is going to turn out in God. And I believe God, or you should believe God, that your story is going to turn out different. Amen? That you do have a future. Because even right now, things might look bleak. Things might look not very clear. But we're going to believe God that in my life, God, there is a future and there is a hope. And one thing I could tell you is that God always promises a good ending to those who wait on him, to those who seek him. Now, if you don't seek God, God's not in the picture, God's not involved, I don't know what to tell you. But I know that when God is first, God's involved, I believe what God says in his word. And he says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. You know what the Bible says in Proverbs, if you could put it, Proverbs 23:18, the New Living Translation. They're trying to get answers through ChatGPT. He's doubting me. Look what he says. Look what the Bible says. You will be rewarded for this. Look what he says. You will be rewarded for this. Your hope. What did we say? There's a hope and a future for God's children. He says, you will be rewarded for this. Your hope will not be disappointed. How many believe that? I would declare every day, you know what, God? I'm not going to be disappointed because I serve you. How many know that God never disappoints? How many know that someone else can disappoint you? I said somebody else can disappoint you. I can disappoint you. Your brother and sister can disappoint you. Your partner can disappoint you. Amen? But God will never disappoint you. I said God will never disappoint you. God is a good God. God is a faithful God. And he says you will be rewarded. Let me tell you something, church. You, real simple. You honor God, God will honor you back. I said if you honor God, God will honor you back. And Paul said to the Romans in chapter 15, verse 13, he says, now may the God of hope. See, you gotta understand this, church. With God, there will always be hope. With God, you will have hope. Without God, people do not have hope. Did you know that? People that you know, they don't want nothing with God, they don't have hope. He says, now may the God of hope fill you. That's Romans 15, 13. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing, or because you trust in him, that you may, look what he says, that you may abound, overflow in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you. Church, this year, tell God to fill you up. Look what he says. Verse 13, please. The coffee hit, so the buttons went a little bit. He says, I pray that God, the God, the source of hope, will fill you what? Completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. How important it is to trust in him. Then you will. Look what he says. Then you will. You will overflow. This year, church, I don't know about you, but I'm going to overflow. I'm going to overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So our hope is in God's word, church. And thirdly, we want God's presence. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. These are three fresh statements for you to apply. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, look what he says. This is my command. Be strong. Church, be strong. Be strong and courageous. Be strong, church, this year. And courageous. And he says, do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So number one, we got to be strong. You might be saying, well, how can I be strong? Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Be strong and of good courage and do not be afraid. Don't be afraid, church. Do not fear, nor be dismayed or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. How many believe that God is with you wherever you go? How many know that God is not just with you this Sunday morning? He's with you wherever you go. Wherever you go, God is with you. You are not alone. But then he says, do not be afraid or discouraged. You know what are the three areas that the enemy, or the devil discourages a believer in? That quietly, it weakens a believer's faith. Number one, real simple. Number one is prayer. That's what I said. These 21 days of fasting and prayer, the enemy will do whatever he can so that you don't pray. You know why? You know why the enemy discourages believers, Christians? These are the three main ones that he uses. Number one is prayer, because prayer connects believers to God's power. More prayer, more power. I said more prayer, more power. No prayer, no power. You're a weak Christian. Tell your neighbor, there's no weak here. There's no weakness here. He tells them, do not be afraid or discouraged. Number two, knowledge of the word, scripture. Why scripture? Why have knowledge of the word of God, scripture? You know why? Because scripture will always expose lies. Too many lies. The word of God, the scripture, the Bible will always expose lies. Lies that the enemy bring. Lies that people bring. But when you have knowledge of the word, it exposes all lies. You know, that's why the Bible says, my people, he says, are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. And you know that he was talking to preachers. So think about it. If preachers need knowledge, how much more just a believer in Christ? Number three. He says, do not be afraid of discouragement. So these are the three areas the enemy discourages believers. Thirdly, here it goes. I don't know if you're going to be able to handle it. Is unity and fellowship. He will discourage you. Or discourage the church, the body of Christ, that there be no unity or fellowship. Satan loves that when there's no unity within believers. Because it gets dangerous when there's a church or an army of God. They come together in fellowship and unity. You know, they say that believers grow best in what? Community. See, no one is better than nobody. I said nobody is better than nobody. God sees us all the same. God loves everyone the same. God is love. But the enemy, or he'll try to discourage you, that there be no fellowship with others, or there be no unity. But I've learned one thing. You keep bringing in unity, fellowship. You do your part. You do you. Others don't want it, they're going to miss out. Guarantee they're going to miss out. But if you're the type that says, you know what? I'm doing my part. I'm doing what God says. You're going to be the blessed one. You don't have to say much. You don't have to do much. You just show up. And the enemy will do whatever he can that there be no unity in the church. That there be no fellowship in the church. Because it is dangerous when a church, a body of Christ, comes together. And we need God's presence in this year, 2026. And he says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed or discouraged, for I am your God. And he says, I will strengthen you. You. That's Isaiah 41:10. I'm sorry. Isaiah 41:10 says, for I am God, I will strengthen you. Yes, he says, I will help you, church. Don't forget, God is always willing to help you. You know what's the problem? You want to know what's the problem? We don't want the help. We don't want the help. But the Bible says, look what he says. He says, for I'm your God. Like saying, you guys say I'm your God. But see, sometimes we don't want God. He says, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. He says, yes. He says, yes, yes. Like saying it's a yes. I will help you. And I will uphold you. With my righteous hand. Then Matthew 28:20, he says, I am with you always. Yeah, turn to your neighbor and say, yeah, even the weekends. Even the weekends. Even when you're acting up. He says, I am with you even to the end of the age. So remember this, we are not alone. How many know we're not alone? We're not alone. God goes before us and with us. God goes before us and with us. We are not alone. His presence goes with us. I said his presence goes with us. So, a fresh start today, church. Get crazy about Jesus. That's all we have. Everything else, it's just part of life. But when we get crazy about Jesus, everything's going to work the best for you.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.